Hello, homemakers, and welcome to the Art of Home podcast, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I am a wife and a mom to four grown-up children. I am a granny to one baby boy. He's still not here, but any day now. I have been practicing the art of home for over 30 years. We are just 1 week away from our holiday homemaking series, and I am so excited to bring a month of joyful Christmas stories, tips, recipes, and reflections on the birth of our Savior to you, dear listener. If you have not already, be sure to sign up for your free copy of our 2022 Advent Guide. It is a very simple daily walk through the themes of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love. Every day, there is a truth about the weekly theme, some related verses, and a song suggestion. You could use these daily mini worship times for your personal prayer and devotion, or go through a few each week with your family. We also have Spotify playlists for each of the weekly themes to help you focus on the theme of the week as you do your homemaking tasks, as you cook dinner, as you run errands, or maybe as you wrap Christmas gifts. Sign up to get your copy using the link below or go to theartofhomepodcast.com/Christmas. And the links to the Spotify playlist are also down below in the show notes of this episode. We have a great homemaker portrait for you today of my dear friend, Kimberly Simpson. I have known Kimberly for about a decade and have served alongside her in women's ministry, studied under her teaching in women's Bible study. We've traveled to conferences and retreats together, and we have enjoyed a few fun adventures together, including kayaking around our local lake. Kimberly is a deep thinker, and she is passionate about cultivating meaningful relationships with family, neighbors, and her sisters in Christ, something she has always sought to do through her homemaking, and that becomes very evident as her story unfolds. The original airing of this episode falls on the day before our American Thanksgiving in 2022. Many of you listening may be in your kitchens right now cooking up a storm for the big day tomorrow, or you may be listening in another part of the world, and perhaps you're gearing up for Christmas. Whatever you are applying your hand to as you listen, I am grateful that you have chosen to keep company with Kimberly and me today. Enjoy your good work and Kimberly's story of home. I'm here with my good friend, Kimberly Simpson. We're going to talk about her story of home. But before we do, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are today, Kimberly?
It's so good to have you in my home. Mm-hmm. We've been friends, gosh, for going on 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I'm a full-time homemaker again. I was that in my 20s and 30s, had a secondary teaching career in some part of my 40s, and back full-time homemaking now in my 50s. I am wife to Jim, and we actually acknowledged our 40th year of dating.
Wow.
This last month. Our first date was in 1982 in high school.
Oh.
I am mama to Cole Simpson and mom-in-law to Tanner and honey to Eli and Tay, and beloved of Jesus. So my most treasured relationship, really. This week, I guess, held something of a week in the life of, had a lot of events and that kind of brought together the things I'm about these days. I got to host a couple of different gatherings here. We have the Grands, I call them affectionately, here now for a few nights. I participated in cultivating and flourishing small discipleship groups. So that's kind of what my life's about these days.
Mm.
Hosting and gathering and loving, I guess.
I love that.
Nurturing.
Yes. Yes. So I did not know two things about what you just said. I did not know that you were a secondary teacher for a while.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Math. Can you believe it?
Wow. Math teacher.
I love numbers. I really do. And I had a choice to go English or math. Those were my strongest, which is kind of weird. Typically, your brain is divided. I think I'm, somewhat good in both areas, not stellar in either. I went for math. It was easier to get my alternative certification. Mm-hmm. I had some tutoring to help me pass the test, mm-hmm. and really did long-term subbing for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. where our son attended Bernie
okay.
school.
That was my yeah. question. Were you in the same school as your son?
Well, my husband will tell you that I came on in first grade and never left. And I suppose he's partially right. Uh-huh. I did a lot of volunteering in those yeah. early years, but really have always enjoyed teaching and have always taught something.
Yeah.
So I did. I became a math teacher when he entered into high school and carried on after he had left. I stayed. And then when we moved out to Canyon Lake, I retired from mm-hmm. that.
Mm. But you're still teaching mm-hmm. Through women's Bible study and stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get into that a little bit. But mm-hmm. the other thing I didn't know was that you guys dated in high school.
We did. We met. I was a senior. He was a junior.
Oh.
And he was a great athlete. He was on the football team. And I was trying to be more than friends with another member of the football team.
Oh,
I mean, I was
okay.
wanting to kind of, you know, say I'm willing. He was kind of a shy guy, not Jim, but this other fella.
Uh-huh.
And so one week, instead of giving my spirit box, you make a candy and, you know, festive box for the athletes, and you give them to encourage them. And I'd always given this one young man mine, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of see if he's really maybe wanting to be more than friends and give it to someone else. I mean, it's not very nice, really, now that I think about it. But lo and behold, the person I gave it to was Jim.
Aww.
And it let him know that, or at least he thought that maybe I was interested. But we haven't looked back, really. We've had tumultuous years. We've had sweet years, but they have all been grace-filled, and here mm-hmm. we are.
That's so fun. I love that story.
Dated for 40, married for 33.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, let's go back to the beginning. Okay. When did you first become a homemaker?
1984,
mm-hmm.
when Cole was born. No, 1994, sorry.
That's okay.
No, I would have been, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I... 1994.
Okay.
And it was what I always wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So while I went to college and loved my experience at Texas A&M, I envisioned life with, you know, just a passel of kids and getting to be home. And something that was attractive about homemaking to me always was the flexibility.
Mm. Yeah.
And that no day would look the same and
yeah.
no challenge would be quite the same. I would learn. I would, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know. It was just, to me, it seemed like an exciting adventure.
Mm-hmm. I love that outlook. Well, so when you began this exciting adventure, were you prepared at all? Did you have any skills or training growing up?
Well, not really. I grew up with working parents and make a meat at dinners.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You remember what those were? The
uh-huh.
noodles
uh-huh.
and the ground meat and seasoning. Maybe that's coming back. But so I didn't learn a lot.
Yeah.
However, both of my grandmothers really influenced me.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom's mom, Iris Jane, was a homemaker, both grandmothers were lifelong homemakers. Iris Jane, I was the only grandchild for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
so I had a lot of attention mm-hmm. from my grandmamas. And I would visit them in West Texas. And when I remember going into Iris's kitchen, and there were two things I always noticed. One, there was a homemade pound cake on her cake stand mm-hmm. with the glass top.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a particularly great visit, she had also made the homemade lemon curd.
Oh my
to go
goodness.
On it. That was always on the kitchen island.
Uh-huh.
And then when I would look to the counter, it would be covered with flour. Like she would be covered with flour. Like there was mess everywhere else. But to me, I just loved knowing that pound cake would be there just pristine and ready for me to cut in. And then there'd just be a mess everywhere else. And I just knew that Granny had been cooking and loved that. So I think what I learned from that is I can be a messy homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually delight people through that. And then my dad's mom, Millie, she had a particular gift of making you feel like the space she welcomed you in was yours and special. And so I learned from her just, I remember one visit going in and she had set this high chair in the middle of the room.
Okay.
And remember, I'm the only grandchild. There's no children around. But this is my Mimi thinking of me. She had a tray with saltine crackers and American cheese put on it. I think it was like the precursor to charcuterie tray. Right? And then my favorite cartoon was ready at the go. She had had me sit in it and get ready for my favorite cartoon. And I thought she just made that space so delightful for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that from her. And so coupled with the messiness and the, picking a few good things that I can prepare over and over, like Granny's pound cake, I don't know, that's maybe the basis of my homemaking.
Uh-huh.
And having people into it.
Oh, those are fabulous memories. And I love their names.
I know.
Iris and Millie?
Iris and Millie.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's so great. That's mm-hmm. really cool. Well, thanks for sharing those memories with us.
Yeah.
Well, what was hard for you? What was maybe just something that you had a real steep learning curve for?
Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely cooking. And again, I never lacked for food growing up. There were always well-prepared, well-balanced meals for us. But I didn't learn the recipe following or putting things together.
Right.
And so I just started with following recipes. And I'm still pretty much that kind of a cook. I'm not one that can think of flavors necessarily together. Uh-huh. I've learned a little bit how to tweak things over the years. But cooking was definitely the steepest learning curve.
Mm, mm-hmm. Okay. Does your husband cook at all?
You know, he does. Uh-huh. And more so these days. He made me eggs the other day for breakfast.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's very sweet. Well, let's talk a little bit about balance.
Sure.
Okay. So all the things, managing our resources and time and goals and all that stuff. So while Cole was at home. Mm-hmm. Okay, we just talked about this, but what was the timeline? When did you start working?
So not until he was a teenager.
Okay.
Really full time.
Yeah. So you were home the majority mm-hmm. of his growing up mm-hmm. years. Okay.
Yeah.
But once you started working outside the home, mm. how did that change your experience of homemaking? Was it a difficult transition for you?
Everyone was pretty independent. The two men in our home were pretty independent at that time, Jim mm-hmm. and Cole, and would serve up something. They were great about leftovers, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So what we cooked together, we grilled over the weekend, we would make extras.
Yeah.
There was plenty to toss into a salad mm-hmm. or do more with during the week. And I think just I'm an early morning person, so mm-hmm. utilizing early morning hours to be organized or when I was teaching to grade papers or to have that time when no one else could possibly mm-hmm. be needing something
mm-hmm.
was made it pretty easy.
Yeah.
But even before I started working, I volunteered regularly, I was in a parachurch Bible study ministry for up to Cole's age of 12. And I'll tell you some things that helped during that time with balance. And a couple of them was making use of resources. Like both of his grandparents lived in the same town and were eager to have time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yes, I called on them. They wanted to. And I would encourage anyone that has grandparents nearby, we really want to be a help. And so I utilized those, like I said, the early morning hours. nap times, of course, and then just kind of integrated what I was doing at home and where I was going outside the home.
If that makes sense. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I'm glad you pointed out to make use of the resources that are at your disposal. Like, you don't have to do all of it by yourself.
No. And it's a gift to others, you know.
To be willing to ask for help. Yeah. So are you a goal setter, like an annual goal setter? How did you set your priorities as a household and sort of based on what was important to you as a family? And then how did that inform the way that you spent your days? Because you said you were doing Bible study ministry and volunteering at the school and things like that.
Yeah. I think giving thought and communication, starting with between Jim and me, fed into a lot of budget goals, organizational goals. What do we want the evenings to look like? What do we want the weekends to look like? So a lot of communication. And then truly always just, I guess, Allison, I think I just always understood if I pointed myself and Cole and to the Lord, if I encouraged Jim and I in whatever way I could, you know, our growth in the Lord, I just think things would go from there in a good way.
Yeah.
So our home really revolved around that. I've often thought if my house caught on fire, that's not a great thought.
What would you take, the thing you're going to grab? Yeah.
So I have this pen and pencil holder. And Cole made it like in first grade. And it's a drawing with coloring. And it says, "My mommy teaches me the Bible and prays."
Oh.
And I thought, you know, that was my goal.
Yeah.
So everything else just seemed of lesser importance, you know. So we did that, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
So grateful.
That's good. Were there things that surprised you about homemaking? So maybe some expectations that you had at the beginning of your journey that weren't quite met by the reality of the day-to-day life as a homemaker, or either good or bad, you know, maybe something you expected that didn't happen or something that did happen that you weren't expecting that was a blessing.
You know, I just thought everyone would want to be a homemaker.
Mm.
And I carried just great joy in being a homemaker.
Yeah.
And it was a thrill and something we, you know, worked to make sure we could do. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting my hair cut one day with a young woman and her saying, asking me what I did for a living. And I said, "I'm a homemaker." And she said, there was this pause, and she said, "Oh, you're in construction?" Which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I didn't take offense to that, of course, at all. But I remember conversations and comments like that that people didn't understand, and I was just kind of surprised.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other hand, I've just found wonderful opportunities to scatter seeds of being a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going into Cole's third grade classroom on career day with a duffel bag full of everything I could fit in there from what I do in just a given day or a given week as a homemaker, cooking and cleaning and screwdriver and, you know, just all kinds of things thrown into that duffel bag. And I had those kids, their eyes were glued on me because I would take something out of the bag and then describe what it was. But I mean, so I loved not only the challenge that maybe it was sometimes, but the joy of just getting to be a homemaker and getting to tell others what a great career.
I love that you went to career day.
I did. It was awesome.
And brought a duffel bag of all the things.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will get an idea there. Because that's, I mean, really, there's a lot of judgment, whether it's inflicted on you by society or just something that you feel like shameful. Even some women are ashamed to even say, well, you know, I'm a homemaker. A lot of times it'll be, oh, I just stay home. Just, you know.
Yeah. I never felt that way because when you're in it, you know how much you're holding down and taking care of. And it was sacrifice. You know, we purposed not to, I mean, we didn't spend and couldn't spend like everyone around, maybe others around us, because it was important to us. So I just always felt so privileged and still do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about challenges, special challenges? Mm. Was there anything in particular that you faced during your homemaking journey that that you had to really just lean hard into the Lord? And what did he teach you through that?
Yeah, I think they call it secondary infertility. Mm. So we had, Cole was our one and only pregnancy and all these wonderful years together. And like I said, that's all I wanted to be. And I thought we were going to have a passel of kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did two things over time that I think endeared me to the gift of what I had, but also that there was loss. You know, I gave thanks and I grieved.
Yeah.
I didn't deny that that was a sorrow of my heart, but I didn't dwell there. And just enjoyed every day that that we had, you know, and continue to enjoy every day we have with Cole. I gave back in having just one, so truly wherever he went, I could go. There wasn't another kid, but whatever I was learning in Bible study, I'd go into his preschool and I would share. We would do a Bible story and a hymn time. I'd, you know, prepare something and go into that. He was in a public grade elementary school, but the principal was a Christian. So I remember reading through the series Chronicles of Narnia in their classroom. You know, so I would go and nurture other children in ways that felt great. And I was glad to get to do. And I did learn that trusting God, well, it includes trusting him with what he withholds as well as what he gives.
Yeah.
If I say I trust him, there's not really, I don't really get to put conditions on that. So I get to grow in the trust and repent of the distrust or the, you know, the unbeliefs that will crop up.
Mm-hmm.
So he is good, and I've seen his goodness come back in hundredfold, you know? This is what he's given us.
Yeah, that's really a great testimony. What about hospitality in your home? So from all that you've just told me about, you know, going into the schools and being with those other children, I mean, you were bringing hospitality with you out into those places. And but in the home, how did you guys and do you guys practice hospitality, showing it towards one another? And then showing it towards people that don't dwell in these four walls.
Mm. Oh, I love that, the showing to one another too, because I feel like that probably got lost somewhat when Cole was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to encourage young mamas today to, you know, there's a husband there that really loves you and wants to delight in you too. So I might have missed some of that, but retirement is another time that can happen, and people can go and develop really parallel lives even in retirement, or what they call empty nesting. So we make a point these days of we connect over coffee for sure every day when we're both wide-eyed, and Friday is our date day, lunch day. So whatever's going else is going on in the week, we have that special date time, you know, for us. We began probably when Cole was in elementary, a couple, 20, 25 years ago, just having people over for porch night and cooking a meal and a simple meal. Remember my challenge that I've overcome, but remember, I'm okay if it's a little messy. So, just cooking a simple meal, having people over for porch nights, we've done that for decades. I like inviting friends out to go kayaking. Didn't we get to do that?
We did.
I was thinking
that was so fun. We need to do that again.
We do.
Have a friend. Do you know? You know Gwen.
Yes. From church.
So Gwen, and she was a guest actually on the show this past year. Gwen Cunningham, and she is paddle boarding, so the kind where you stand up, all the way around the perimeter of the lake. That's like her goal. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
I know. So and she's always welcoming visitors to come with her. So you should let her know.
Wow.
I know.
I'll follow her on my kayak.
Yes.
I'll encourage her on.
Yes.
That's awesome. What a great goal.
But that is a wonderful. I remember when you moved to this house, you really, you know, it was for you guys this a place that you wanted to cultivate, you know, friendships and bring people in, and you saw this as an opportunity because you're right here on the lake and it's beautiful. I told your husband when we were setting up in here, I was like, this is probably the best view that I've ever had doing an interview because we're looking out over the lake. But you do have a unique opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, this, like I said, a couple of things we did this week, just I have a friend in the neighborhood who in the same year was widowed and is expecting her first grandson.
Oh.
So we had a nanny shower for her on Sunday. And
just a
group of neighbors gathered to bless her with things that she could keep in her home for
her
when her
grandbaby.
Daughter and grandson come. So we got to do that and then just linger. We spilled out onto the porch and sat for a couple of hours and just visited.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then I have a group of gals that we play cards once a month or so. We thought we needed to keep our mental acumen going. So it's actually a pretty challenging card game. It's not bridge, but it's called Samba, and it's super fun.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So
cool.
It's
a group. It's like a good for groups.
It is.
Like how
you
many
play
people?
With partner? Well, you can play five or six.
Okay.
And so there's a floater if you play five.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's great fun. So I got to host that.
Cool.
And then have the grand. So, and the, you know, inviting your grandchildren or at a time when for me it was daughter-in-law felt comfortable, you know, them spending the night. When that time comes, it's such a delight to have what they need here.
Yeah.
So that mama and daddy can just, I mean, we can just meet up, take off. She doesn't have to pack and think about it, and they can just come and spill it. And we just devote the time to the whatever they want to run around and do and be.
Yeah. I love
so
that.
Those are some ways, of
those are great.
Right? Community.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even with family.
Yeah. Building community. That's the next question is how do you see, I mean, you just explained it, you know, some examples, some practical examples of how, but how, like on maybe a bigger scale, do you see homemaking, the art of homemaking and the occupation of homemaking building healthy communities, helping to build healthy community?
I loved thinking about that question. So there's two things came to mind. I think people coming into a home that feels comfortable, where they feel welcomed and maybe even delighted in, you know, something special for them. I feel like it's a little bit of a precursor to them being able to share their heart when difficult things happen. And I will say of the 12 or so women that were gathered here for the little shower, I mean, I've gotten opportunity to sit and pray individually with at least half of them over some difficult things. I've gotten opportunity to share truth about God and to disciple just kind of in a one-on-one way because they felt comfortable, I think, just coming in your home. It's funny how that really does flesh out. The other thing I think, I didn't consciously decide this, but what our son observed over the years became what he wanted with his family.
Yeah.
And they host their community group from church. They host gatherings. They host baby showers already.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
And they have two small littles.
Yeah.
You know? But again, they just welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw what it was like to be welcomed, to see, you know. So I think just modeling it just as an easy come and go.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah. So I love that. So I feel like, so both personally and then like next generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some way.
Absolutely. Those are great examples. Let's talk a little bit about the seasons of homemaking.
Mm.
What would you say was your most difficult transition in the homemaking seasons?
Well, as you can imagine, given what I've said so far, when Cole began to dry, no, it was way before then. Cole's parenting a son from parenting a boy to parenting a man, mm-hmm. or at least a growing into manhood yes. man, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. And I remember that start, that really, it occurred to me that I would needed to prepare for that change when he and I got to visit some friends in Washington, D.C., and he was about 10. Mm-hmm. And it was because it was just the two of us traveling together, which I don't know that that had happened. I observed how he wanted to pull my luggage and he wanted to give direction. I think we go this way, Mom. You know, I just saw him as a man
yeah.
in a 10-year-old body. And I realized, wow, I need to give some thought and prayer to how I'm parenting him, but also within a few years to losing him
yeah.
in a way that, you know, he's yeah, it's just a change, but it is a loss. You know, he's not mm-hmm. a little boy. And getting to do that as he then started driving and really grieving that he was going to be leaving home, I actually got some counseling during mm-hmm. that time, and it was very beneficial. I was mm-hmm. really grateful to meet with a Christian counselor and kind of talk through and pray through what that is in our souls and that loss, especially as that truly was what I considered my. I probably had some identity tied up with that, you
yep.
know, at the time, and needed to begin letting loose of that and letting mm-hmm. God change that, change me, heal me. I think even it's not a bad thing, but it is an absorbing thing.
yeah.
So it was good to go through some counseling. And my daughter-in-law early on actually thanked me because mm-hmm. I guess she had been or had friends and relationships where that hadn't been the case mm. and there wasn't a real clean leaving and cleaving,
yes.
if you will.
Yes.
And so what a great thing uh-huh. to have your daughter-in-law thank you
yeah.
years later and feel like I get not only him back as a man, but her as a
yeah.
as a daughter-in-law. So, yeah. But uh-huh. that was hard, very hard, very, very challenging.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Maybe that's why I went the math route in my mind. Start teaching.
Just think about numbers.
That's
numbers.
Right. Numbers.
Numbers are just numbers.
Numbers.
They don't change.
That's
they
right.
just are what
and
they are.
They take some energy yes. so that speculation can stop.
A lot of mental energy focused there instead yeah. of other places. I love that you bring up counseling mm. and that at that point it was time to really wrestle through your identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in mm-hmm. my encouragement to the younger women listening is to don't wait until your kids are mm-hmm. in that transition stage, mm-hmm. but start working through that now because, you know, what we do is not who we are. You know, mama, homemaker, mm-hmm. wife, those are roles that are mm-hmm. given to us for a time. They can be taken from us at any time. And so therefore, it's really, really important that we make sure that our identity is grounded
yeah.
in Christ, who never changes, never leaves
yeah.
us. You know,
I am a daughter of a king forever mm-hmm. and a bride of Christ forever.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what does it look like now in the season that you're in to be a homemaker? Because you said at the beginning you were, and then you know, kind of left that as your primary role for a while, and then now that's your primary role again. So what does it look like now?
It is back to an every day looks different, mm-hmm. and every opportunity to bless
mm-hmm.
comes sometimes when you don't expect it. And I love
isn't that the truth?
You know?
Well, we're doing this today. Okay.
You absolutely. And so a lot of what I've mentioned, you know, those kinds of gatherings, I'm on the short list for a bunco group that's starting with the neighborhood. But again, even fun, free, just silly things that can be they're entry points, right? Into into relationships.
Yeah.
So I love that. So yeah, it looks it just looks very open.
Very open. Yeah.
I may be with a 2-year-old one day and a 70-year-old the other. I may be taking a meal tomorrow night to a friend who had surgery. You know, just the different opportunities. Sitting up, and I've gotten to where when instead, you know, those you get in a group text or a one-on-one text, and somebody says, "Well, will you pray for?" Mm-hmm. And people say, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you," which is great, and I know they are. Well, I've kind of gotten to where I'll tuck in some time to actually just write out prayer as I'm praying. I'm writing it out, and I send it to the individual. You know,
yeah.
And I'm enjoying getting to do that. If we can't always pray together, you know, at least I can write one out.
Yeah. So in the retirement or empty nest age, so Jim's retired.
Yeah, right? We're both retired.
What is the homemaking, like the practical day-to-day homemaking of cooking and getting laundry done? And what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it seems rather easy. I hate to say that.
Because
if it doesn't happen today, I have tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we have enough clothes to make it.
Yeah. You could go quite a while without having to do laundry.
But then there are events, right? So, you know, Thanksgiving's upcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned my mother-in-law was also modeled for me. She was a lifelong homemaker. And I remember visiting Jim for dates, and their table would be set days ahead of I've always thought that was rather curious. Well, I want to tell you, that was smart. So, you know, getting the table set a few days ahead, that's I like doing a lot of prep ahead. So whenever we're having guests for a weekend or the kids are coming out to with the grands to spend the night, there is a lot of mutual list making and gathering and prepping and doing as much as possible so that we're as present as possible.
Yes.
With the peeps.
Yes.
They come.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yes. You are speaking my language. I can do this because I have the space, but I keep my table set all the time.
Oh, lovely.
It's just always set.
I love that.
And ready.
I love that.
To sit and eat.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Okay. I want to talk about some homemaking tasks, a little Q&A session. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick answer. You can give me a story if you would like, or you can just answer the question. Mm-hmm. Okay. A homemaking task that you love.
Window washing.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Inside and outside, or just outside? Or inside?
Yeah. No, really. Really just the porch windows.
Okay. Because you're looking out over this beautiful lake. Who wouldn't want to do that?
And it's one of those that you see results right away.
That's true.
I always liked homemaking tasks that I could see the result right away.
Yeah. It's like vacuuming.
Exactly.
I can watch the dirt disappear like magic.
It's awesome.
It's great. Okay. One that you hate.
Cleaning hardwood floors.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hard.
That is a lot.
I'm getting old and tired.
Well, it's just, you know, and if you got to bend down, it just takes a lot longer to get back up. And
yes.
I hear you. I hear you. Okay. One that you grew to love.
Laundry.
Okay.
I still have a picture of the first time Cole returned from college and this mound.
It's like, mound. Did you do laundry at all this semester?
Mm-hmm. And I think the answer not. This mound of stinky boy clothes in front of my washer, and I couldn't have been happier.
Oh.
So, yeah, that hasn't gone away now. Just treasuring the people that I get to love. I get to do their laundry.
That's a pretty common answer, actually, to this question, because I think in the beginning, you get very quickly overwhelmed by the magnitude of the task. And, you know, when you have a baby, for such small people, they do generate a lot of dirty laundry.
Yes.
So it can be, and you're tired and, you know, I can see that. I've grown to love it for that same reason, but also just the method of it. Like, you know, just the technique of just slow. It's something that you have to slow down to do it right. Mm. You know, like yesterday, I, for the first time, tried stripping my, have you done the stripping thing where you've got your towels and they get kind of like crunchy and a little dingy and gray because they've got residue on them?
Okay.
This is an old practice. You did this with cloth diapers too. And apparently it was a big TikTok thing back, but I don't do TikTok. So you put borax and washing soda. There's like a ratio, borax, washing soda. It's like one part borax, one part washing soda to two parts Tide or, you know, laundry detergent, laundry soap.
All right.
Hot, hot water. Like even I put a couple of tea kettles of boiling water in it. In my sink, I have like a slop sink in my laundry room.
Me too.
Utility sink. And I just did my washcloths. Now I just have white towels, but apparently it works on any color, but it might fade the colored ones over time. So anyway, you put all of this in. You stir it around with like a spoon or something, and then you leave it. You go stir it every so often, and then you leave it in there until the water is completely cooled down. And that takes a good 4 or 5 hours. And then you take them out, wring them out, throw them in the washing machine, and run them through a regular cycle. And it removes a lot of that gunk, you know, especially because we have hard water here.
Yes.
And it really leaves just like a terrible residue on your towels. And they...
I'm excited to learn that. I'm going to try that.
You need to try it.
I am.
But it's that kind of thing that I love. Just those methods of just doing a job one step at a time. And I used to hate to iron, but now I iron because my husband really appreciates that I iron his shirts because we used to send them out, but they were destroying them with the chemicals and stuff that they put on them. Mm. And they were crushing the buttons when they would put them in their little machine. So anyway, so I iron his shirts. Now I don't do them. I do them like twice a month, and I do like 20 at a time.
it takes me
a couple hours, but I love just, it's so relaxing just doing that same thing over and over
again. That's what I discovered dryer timers for. So I take them out when there's a good bit of left, and I shake them really, really hard and hang them up, and it does pretty good. Pretty straight.
Yeah. That is your ironing method.
My ironing method.
I like it. I like it. Tell me your worst homemaking fail.
Laundry.
Really?
Because I didn't learn the first time that you put
a lot of stuff?
Sweater and dry on high heat. Oh.
And it comes out
three sizes too small. You'd think I would learn.
Yeah.
And I have ruined some favorites. So
I would say that's a worst fail.
You just get distracted.
Yeah.
So again, dryer timers are really nice.
They really are. Do you know now?
My timer used for dryers.
Do you know now? I'm assuming you don't. Do you have like a really brand new washer and dryer? See, mine are older too.
No.
The new ones, they're smart. As in, they connect to your phone and you can set timers on when they're going to start and when they're going to stop, and they'll notify you on your phone. Is that amazing?
It's amazing.
Technology. You girls just don't know how good you've got it, let me tell you. All right. How about a memorable homemaking achievement?
Absolutely. Hands down, the first Thanksgiving that we hosted.
Oh, do tell. Can I hear about it?
It was 2013 because my kind mother-in-law we were married in 89, so what's that? First 24 years hosted Thanksgiving. So it's my turn then.
Yeah.
And I'm petrified. I'm calling friends. We've already said that cooking was my steepest learning curve, so now I have the whole Thanksgiving meal. But with the help of friends that had tried and true recipes, and I just started with some 4 or 5 basic things, and you know what? It came out great. And I just marveled. I thought that was
You're like, I can do anything now.
Exactly.
If I can do this, I can do anything.
And it was all the family. So that felt really great.
That feels like a lot of pressure, though, you know, when the whole family is coming.
Yes.
But you kept it simple, you said.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah. I just tried to do things that I felt comfortable with the recipe and felt comfortable with the timing of it, you know, getting things all out at the same. I think that was my biggest.
That's a huge part of it.
Mental hurdle.
Yes.
Is that something's going to be done long before something else.
Yes.
And be cold.
Yes.
So I worked around that, and I was excited. That was a big accomplishment.
Well, very good.
I remember that. And ever since I've hosted. So it's been delightful.
Cool. Mm. All right. How about your top three homemaking tips?
Oh, let's see. I recommend a yellow legal pad for any kind of gathering.
Okay.
Whether it be a big dinner or a holiday or a family gathering, a yellow legal pad. And I use 2 sheets per gathering,
okay,
particularly the big ones. So the first sheet, I write out the menu. Mm-hmm. What are we going to, Jim and I talk, and what are we going to serve? And in a column beside it, the grocery list based on the menu.
Got it.
So I have it right there to, you know, pick and choose. And I also kind of, because it's a legal pad and I can jump from top to bottom, I can kind of write things even the route I go in the grocery store, which really helps.
That's helpful.
And then the second page is kind of a breakdown, because often it's a full day, or, you know, multiple meals or even overnights.
Right.
And it'll be breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then the timing, like when something needs to go, when I need to what I prep before, what goes into the oven at a certain time, what comes out, what, you know, when to set this out or when to set that out. So that's a big one. That's really helped.
That's
me.
A great tip. Yes.
The second of three would be OxyClean and a dryer timer. Get those things. And then third would be, and this, I love this. I read this years ago from George Mueller. Whatever else the day holds, get my soul happy in the Lord at the beginning. So that's 5 minutes or 30 minutes, no amount of sleep. Makes up for starting a day without my soul with his. So
I love George Mueller. I remember reading his biography with the kids when we were homeschooling and just being amazed at the story of his life and how God worked through him and his wife. And I mean, just, I remember, I think he has a quote about, it's similar to that, and he talks about prayer at the beginning of the day. I'm not going to be able to do the quote, but it essentially what he was like, what he said was like, the more that I have on my plate for the day, like the more responsibilities, the longer I need to spend in prayer.
Martin Luther said something like that too. Mm-hmm. He said, one of his was, I have this XXX, then I need 3 hours of prayer.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That morning. So I,
and the prayer stories from George Mueller's life are just, oh my gosh, the one about him praying when he had, because they fed a lot of orphans and brought in a lot of, you know, children, orphans and children without homes. And they had all these kids around the table and they had nothing to feed them. But he still said grace. And he was like, thank you, Lord, for the food that you're going to provide. And then there was a knock at the door and the milkman his truck had broken down outside their house. And
that story.
It's so amazing. So I highly recommend that you read George Mueller biography. It will invigorate your prayer life.
It will.
Definitely. Okay. So surprise question. What is a homemaking product or resource that you are loving right now besides your dryer timer?
I did not know that there was such a thing as a spray bottle full of something that would mask boy puppies' marking spots.
Really?
So that they would not likely return to that spot.
Oh, that's a thing. I don't have dogs. I'm not a dog mom. So.
Yes. So because we spill out onto our porch a lot, and we have a couple of boys that every now and then think, well, we just need to make sure everyone knows this is our territory, our home. That's been a great solution.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it right now, but you could put it in a search engine and find it.
It's like
it.
In the pet section.
Yes.
So you just spray it on. Does it stink, though?
No.
Okay, good.
I can't smell it.
Oh, good. But they can smell
They cannot smell.
It masks.
So it masks.
Their
attempts at.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys
bet
know.
You hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, you guys know what we're saying. We're gonna leave it at that. But there's a lot. I'm sure that's a thing for people.
Yeah.
Especially if they were doing it in the house and you were trying to train them.
Absolutely. You can it's safe for carpets.
Okay.
You can use it in the house. We did use it a couple of times. We have 3 Shih Tzus.
Oh.
2 boys and a girl.
Oh.
Little babies. Mm-hmm. Our fur babies.
Your fur babies.
Yes. So
that keeps you busy, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. Good. Let's talk about the art of home. Okay. How do you see homemaking as an art?
I think that's an awesome question. You know, I look around my home. I'm not a decorator at all, but occasionally I'll like move things, you know, face to face. And so one thing I thought, just the beauty of the different, of your space, right?
Yeah.
Colors and textures and pieces and what's special and why. Mm-hmm. So I see beauty in that and just the space you create or recreate, sometimes a lot. Mm-hmm. I think the crafting of a good meal or a bouquet of flowers and mm-hmm. a little arrangement, or like I mentioned, I'm making felt Christmas stockings, and that crafting aspect of that comes with homemaking in mm-hmm. some way, mm-hmm. maybe crafting a great laundry pile, you know,
yeah.
whatever. and then the beauty of a story, right? The unfolding yeah. story of people's lives. And, you know, as you have guests over repeatedly or different events and you're catching up with people or you're learning more, you're discovering more about them and you're learning their memories, then mm-hmm. I think that's the most beautiful thing about homemaking is just individual unfolding stories
yeah.
in the big story of that God is writing of Jesus. So.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. Well, what about beauty in the mundane things? I mean, it's fun to do a bouquet of flowers or do a beautiful little Christmas stocking, but there's a lot that we do that's just not really fun. It's not really beautiful. So how do you find beauty in those things?
So, like, I know this will speak to your heart because, you know, I love music and mm-hmm. playing music, sometimes loud, mm-hmm. sometimes if Jim's catching up on something, using my AirPods or whatever, music and crafting playlist, which Spotify makes it so easy.
Oh, I know.
You
yeah.
know, you can just start and yeah. yeah. Just so I regularly on my liked song playlist. So music for me can make anything beautiful. And then of late, I'm really trying to practice. I may have a list of tasks. It may be a task day. You know, I've just got things that need to be plugged through and plowed through in a day. And I will pause. And I'm helped by an app by that name that John Eldridge did. Hmm. He's the Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
Remember Wild at
yeah.
Heart from so many years ago? Uh-huh. And he still has that ministry. And anyway, he has this app called Pause. And it's just some guided prayer with scripture. Hmm. I know there are others out there like that, but they're all between like 8 and 10 minutes. So
okay.
it's a wonderful thing. I'll go sometimes outside, get outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our new mantra, is get some fresh air mm-hmm. and pause. And that I
like that. So through
that.
Your task day,
mm-hmm.
you'll take little breaks.
I will.
Pause. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I will. And I'm learning that's a better transition for me than mm-hmm. just quickly going to the next thing.
Sure.
Something about that, quickly moving to the next thing, it just the energy expended and the way I feel tired seems mm-hmm. to be multiplied
mm-hmm.
or grown in the end of a day. So those pauses has that transition to just before I go into the next thing.
Yeah.
That's been wonderful. I'm enjoying that a lot.
I really like that. I'm gonna try that.
Mm.
That's good. That's good advice. Why do you think that gratitude is important for the homemaker and how have you seen gratitude impact your home and your homemaking?
I've loved this. We were in Colorado recently for a couple of months and I had returned to a Hannah Anderson book that I hadn't caught called Made for More. Finished reading it. I hadn't finished it. She has this great quote in there, and she says, "To know that the given life, like all his gifts, is a good one,
mm-hmm.
is it." Mm-hmm. And you know, you just hear gratitude in that, right?
Yeah.
For the life I'm given.
Yeah.
It's not the life you're given. It's not the life my neighbor's been given. You know, why compare? To know that the life he's given me, like all of his gifts, mm-hmm. is a good one. Mm-hmm. And that gratitude for the life I'm given and the refusal to be discontent mm-hmm. Endears Father to me.
Yeah.
Keeps our relationship fresh and vibrant. Mm-hmm. It helps me get more readily to Christ and all I'm thankful for mm-hmm. in him and through him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's important.
Yeah.
And again, everything else seems to spill out from that.
Yeah, definitely.
The way I feel about receiving people or not, and blessing people or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting along with people or not. Just seems to start there.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Well, what about those other people? Community is another topic that I like to talk about in these conversations because, like we said before, you know, we tend to feel like we can do it all by ourselves, or we should be able to do it all by ourselves. And, you know, we hesitate to ask for help and reach out to other women. But, I mean, we're commanded in Scripture to come alongside one another as women and help one another. So what are some of the ways that you sought to foster community with other women throughout your homemaking journey? Mm-hmm. And then maybe talk a little bit about some of the ways you're doing that now.
Mm-hmm. So it seems that I was always in a Bible study mm-hmm. and or a prayer group. Moms okay. in Touch, which
yeah.
I think still is vibrant.
I think it is still a thing.
I think I was in a Moms in Touch group from the time Cole was in pre-K mm-hmm. through high school. And in a Bible study group, those were always great ways to connect with others mm-hmm. and to spill out into relationship and fellow homemaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help encourage one another in the day to day. And it's the same as shared goals, you know, wanting to raise and nurture healthy kids. And then these days I might do that with a cooking class, you know, just meeting people if I'm wanting to improve a skill like cooking mm-hmm. or painting mm-hmm. or something or wine tasting.
Yeah.
just gathering with
yes.
people of common interest. Pickleball. That's a fun sport I'm into these days.
Wow.
So getting to meet people through that. I'm loving fostering community and helping with those discipleship groups.
Okay.
Kind of moving out into my my small world here and then even out into other cities and just helping women, small groups gather to disciple with one another mm-hmm. unto the Lord. So just gathering around a book of the Bible, mm-hmm. The person of Jesus, mm-hmm. and talking through some questions with each other that mm-hmm. are more relational in nature, mm-hmm. I think is helping foster community. I'm finding in discipleship groups a little bit different than Bible studies, which both are important and valuable at various seasons. With small discipleship groups, there's an opportunity to perhaps grow in more of a meditative reading of Scripture mm-hmm. so that with the goal, this is biblical meditation, of course,
yes.
with the goal of not so much knowing more facts about God or more attributes of God, but reading a scripture and asking yourself, what makes me love God in this? Mm. You know, what makes me want more of him? Mm-hmm. What makes me want more companionship with him? Mm-hmm. So helping people learn to read and reread and really glean for themselves what's tugging at them in the scriptures as opposed to just the next thing to learn and apply, which is also good and helpful. But I'm finding with these small groups, just the nature of the intimacy with just a few others around this, that everybody's reading and looking for him in the scriptures in that way, they're really helping each other grow and experience something of a deeper union with the Lord.
Can you just walk us through briefly, what does it look like? How long do you meet? What's the dynamic of your group? Is there a leader? Is there, you know, how does all that work?
Sure. Rather than a leader per se, a facilitator.
Okay. You know,
maybe there's somebody that's just conscious of time mm-hmm. when we're starting and stopping and that we're talking through questions. But groups kind of look to follow Jesus's lead. Mm-hmm. You know, he was about intimacy, so 3 to 4 people,
okay.
Particularly when he pulled off in some of his most intimate times recorded in the scriptures. He's just with a few, but they were together over a long stretch of time, year, 2, 3, and met regularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's kind of the structure. So it goes on a year, you would start and stop and plan to be together a year, but you take big breaks around the busy times like school closing and mm-hmm. I mean May, you know, when school's out, and mm-hmm. Christmas time, and
yeah,
September, you know, you take yep. breaks, but yeah, you gather regularly and just with a desire to grow mm-hmm. in your union with the Lord and with one another. Friendship deepens in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start at Hillside right now does an annual training.
Yeah.
So, and I know there are people that have gone through it and maybe they're not ready to facilitate, but they're ready to join. And there are people waiting to join up with groups. And we have men's groups have started. It's mm-hmm. great. Or reach out to me and I can help that process, as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's really good. I know a lot of people who have participated in those small group discipleship groups and been very, very fruitful for mm-hmm. them and their lives. Well, I'd like to close our time with a word of encouragement. What would you say to the mm-hmm. younger woman, the younger homemaker, whether she's, you know, 10 years behind you or 30 years behind you? How would you encourage her?
The thing that bubbled up most for me to pass on is because, and maybe because it's so ingrained in us, but refuse to compare.
Mm-hmm.
Except, as Paul said in the letter to Galatians, to compare yourself with yourself and see your growth.
Yeah.
Honor your growth. Notice your growth. Regard your growth. You and I are not the same people we were a year ago, mm-hmm. 5 years ago. And so compare, if you're going to compare that. Mm-hmm. See how you've grown. Notice it. Regard it. Give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And refuse to compare with other people, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing, and you'll have to, I'll say this. I'm not going to put a lot of qualifiers on this other than to repeat something that was said to me by a counselor decades ago. Love God and do what you want.
Okay.
So, in that order.
Okay, that's a loaded statement, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you're not going to put any qualifiers on it.
Love God.
Love God.
I suppose is the...
That is
embedded
the qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
And go
and do what you want.
Search your scriptures, friends, to
yeah.
see what it means to love God.
Yeah.
Because then doing what you want is going to line up with what he wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's liberating. It frees
mm-hmm.
you from a lot of loving others and doing what they want.
Mm.
All, you know,
should,
like as a
people
standard.
Pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And approval and
right,
flattery and manipulation, even.
Yeah.
Keeping things, trying to keep things all a certain way so you'll get something back. No, love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. And do what you want.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story of home.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you so much for listening today to this homemaker portrait of Kimberly Simpson. I hope you were encouraged and inspired through hearing her story. I loved her advice to the younger women. Refuse to compare with others. Instead, compare to yourself. And what she means by that is look at who you were 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. How have you grown as a homemaker, as a wife, as a mom, as a follower of Christ. Give thanks for the growth and agree to cooperate with God as He keeps changing you to look more and more like Jesus. As Kimberly also said about gratitude, the life He has given each of us, like all His gifts, is good. So don't compare with others. Instead, compare with yourself and give thanks to God. And I want to take this opportunity to give thanks for you, listener, and for the entire Art of Home community, which includes all of our listeners and all of the women who have contributed to this project with their stories. It's an honor just to hear these stories, and it is a double honor to get to share them with the world. I'm so grateful to be a part of what the Lord is doing to turn the hearts of women toward their homes and their families. I would like to close this episode with a poem that you might have heard me read over on Instagram at the beginning of November for National Homemaker Day. Yes, that is a thing, every November 3rd. But I thought it was fitting to end this Thanksgiving week episode with this poem that reflects on where we have gotten our skill and our love of home, and that's from all the housewives who came before us. We will be back next week with our first holiday homemaking episode. Until then, keep practicing your art of making a home. A housewife's hands. What gave my hands their housewife skill, their handy way with mop and broom, their knack of nursing old and ill, their swiftness tidying up a room? Whence came the ease with which they dress an eager child for school or play, or make small beds with soft caress and sketch the order of the day? Not so much patience o'er and o'er, but that the eternal housewife stands behind me, those who went before with age-old, quick, maternal hands. Marjorie K. Rawlings, 1928.